up, Daddy Gang. It is your founding father, Alex Cooper, with Call Her Daddy.
What a beautiful Wednesday. What the fuck is up, Daddy Gang? It is your founding father back at it again for another episode of Call Her Daddy. Hi, everyone. I have a question for you. Have you ever watched the show Shameless? If you have not, you are not living your best life. Daddy Gang, Shameless is one of my favorite shows. It is one of the most bingeable shows out there. It's authentic, it feels real. And my favorite thing about the show is you start essentially caring about the characters right away. And when I say right away, like literally episode one, which is truly a testament to a great show and great acting. I remember I got out of college. I was living in the 301. If you're OG Daddy Gang, you know the 301, my first apartment basically in the Lower East Side. And I would lay for hours. I would have the ultimate bed sores, okay? Because I was binging Shameless. And I was so caught up in what Lip and Fiona and Carl and Liam and Debbie fucking Gallagher were doing. It's basically a story of six kids raising themselves because their alcoholic father is chilling at the local bar, the Alibi, shout out, every morning, every night he's there, and the kids are raising themselves. Every single possible theme that you would want to see in a show is basically explored. Daddy Gang, today I have on one of the actors that was a huge part of this show. Emma Kenney plays Debbie Gallagher, the youngest sister of this dysfunctional family. I was so excited to sit down with her because I think aside from wanting to know obviously the dynamic with castmates, I also wanted to ask her, she started on the show when she was 9 years old and is on a set where drugs and alcohol are kind of almost glamorized. And so you wonder, like, how does that affect a child at that age where you're on a set and cocaine and weed are fully a part of this family's everyday dynamic. And you're like, how does that then translate into affecting you in your actual real life as an actress on a set of that kind of show? So Daddy Gang, enjoy this episode, sit back, relax. And if you want, pause, go watch Shameless, and then come back if you haven't watched it. And if you have watched it, fucking enjoy, because it's a great episode. Bye. This episode is presented by Sparkling Ice. Turn up summer with Sparkling Ice. They have over 17 anything but subtle flavors, all made with zero sugar and packed with vitamins and antioxidants. Iced tea and lemonade, strawberry watermelon, tropical punch, peach nectarine. Yum. Crank up the flavor. Sparkling Ice. Anything but subtle. This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Some things work so well. It's basically magic. Like my favorite highlighters that I'm like, wow, how did you all of a sudden make me look glowing? And you know what else really works, Daddy Gang? Shopify. It is a global commerce platform that helps you sell. I've seen a big difference in my online merch sales. They are especially good at turning browsers into buyers. I can see someone that's been on the site but didn't check out, or someone that checked out and then is revisiting the site. Like, if you want to grow your business, Daddy Gang, sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/unwell, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/unwell. Okay. Emma Kenney. I'm so happy to have you here. Happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
I was going to sing for you, but then I was like,
that's the worst. I hate when people sing for me on my birthday.
And then you just awkwardly sit there in silence.
I just do an awkward dance and wait for it to be over.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I kind of like sit there in silence and like want it to be over too. Daddy Gang, Emma Kenney is an actress who stars on the hit show The Conners and spent 11 years, which I just realized is
literally half of your life, Emma, portraying Debbie Gallagher on Showtime's show Shameless. I am the biggest fucking fan of Shameless, as I feel like everyone is. The best. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
I'm excited. You're from New Jersey.
I am.
I'm from PA. I went
to high sick.
Okay, yeah. So like Jersey girls.
Which
I get
part
it.
Of Pennsylvania?
I'm closer to New Jersey than I am to Philly. So okay. I went to high school in New Jersey.
Oh.
As I'm doing research on you, I looked up your award-winning directorial debut. It was when you were 9, you made a short film.
I did. Yeah, I was 9. Like I've always, it was before I started Shameless, like I've always just been into like, you know, acting and kind of the whole creative process. And yeah, I like would write a lot of scripts and my mom was like, "Why aren't you like making them?" And I'm like, "'Cause I'm 9." You know, I guess I went about and did it anyways. And it was a finalist in the New Jersey International Film Festival.
Did you have like cameras and stuff in your house, or you just randomly wanted to go get a camera and be like, I wanted to make this?
So the first commercial I ever did, I bought a Canon Vixia video camera with the commercial money. I still remember it. I went to Sammy's Cameras in New York. With my mom, and I was like 9.
Okay, so you were doing commercials was the first thing you did for like acting.
Yeah, I was doing a lot. I did a lot of student films at NYU growing up on the weekends, okay. And then also commercials and stuff. And
did you want to get into that, or did your parents be like, oh, you should do commercials?
My parents put me into a bunch of classes growing up. Like they weren't like, you need to be an actress. Right. They signed me up for soccer, dance, karate, acting, whatever, singing. And the only thing I actually liked was acting. Like I'd get so anxious going to soccer, going to anything except for acting.
So you start super early. And then when was your audition for Shameless? And like, what was that experience and process like?
My original audition for the show, I was 9 and it was in New York. And
9. Sorry.
Yeah, it was. I know it's weird because now I'm older and I'm 22 now, and it's like, you know, I'll see kids that are that age and I'm just like, that's insane. Like I was hardly even a human, but
literally fetus.
Yeah, like kids, you know, it's so young.
And did your parents and everyone like know the premise of the show when you were like auditioning?
Yes, my mom and I remember, I have like a distinct memory of us finding a clip of the UK Shameless. It was, you know, before it's easy to like find clips and things on YouTube,
right.
On some random website that was probably like the dark web. And
oh my God.
Basically just going off of that, and it was, you know, kind of
did you know what character you were like trying to play?
Yes. And I distinctly remember just like trying to replicate the British Debbie's audition.
Okay.
And then I go to the callback and they're like, oh, just like switch it up, like do something different.
Wait, that's so interesting that you kind of already had like a format to follow.
Yeah.
After you started on Shameless, did you keep going to like in-person school? Like how did the kids treat you in school?
I fully went to real public high school in New Jersey until 10th grade.
What?
Yeah, no. Honestly, I'm so glad that I had that experience too, because I don't know if I was super grateful for it, you know, when I was going through it.
Right.
But I look back and I'm glad I had that. The kids were not the nicest. Always like they would call me my character name in the hallway and like kind of give me a hard time, and I didn't love that. And I was coming from LA and I didn't really like, I wasn't with the kids all the time, so I didn't have like a set group of friends that I, you know.
So you're playing a character and playing her role of those formative years,
right.
And then trying to figure out like what yours is supposed to be. So you were traveling to LA.
Mm-hmm.
How did you even keep going to high school?
Like, so I had like a great studio teacher that, okay. You know, we worked with on set, and she would basically just keep in touch with the guidance counselor and the principal at my schools in New Jersey. They would just kind of collab. It was like pre-Zoom days, but they would blow up my face on like the projector. And so I was like in class and it was absolutely mortifying.
You're like, please take that down. Why does my face?
Literally. And I like hate attention to begin with. So I'm like, this is the last thing I want right now. And especially when you're in middle school and high school.
That's why I fucking sometimes hate high school. And I'm always like, if anyone's listening in high school, like
you're going to get through it.
You're going to be fine. In high school, the fact that people weren't nice to you because what, you were acting?
Yeah, like it's weird because I don't know myself without Shameless in a way. So it's like I don't know if I would have been picked on if I wasn't doing the show for other reasons. Maybe it was a me thing, maybe it's
right.
Just who knows, but kids are mean, and like,
yeah,
you know, to people in high school it's like you'll get through it, and it's not gonna be, this
Did
is
you,
not the end all be all.
100%. I hear what you're saying. You're like, I'm happy that I went to high school because now you look back, you still got to do semi-normal things.
Yes.
While living a semi-not normal life. So that's kind of cool because I know obviously some kids would just go right to like homeschooling.
Right. So many kids just did that. And I didn't want that. Like I did want that. Like I really wanted to have, I didn't want to look back and regret things. Like when I was, I think 16, I got a job at a bakery in New Jersey. Because I wanted to like do something other than just having only ever been an actor. It was like 5 months I worked there, but
You're a well-rounded gal over here. You're like, I needed to get my foot in the door at the bakery because Shameless wasn't enough for me. Yeah. Okay, that's cool.
It was fun. I'd fill cannolis and...
So you show up the first day on the Shameless set. What do you remember about the first day? I know that's so long
ago. I actually kind of do remember the first day. I haven't thought about it in so long. Everybody had been officially casted, and our pilot director, Mark Mylod, he got all of us together. We hung out in the Gallagher living room, and we played like Guitar Hero and like Rock Band or whatever it's called. And we kind of just like a bonding day, and they brought a bunch of like Nerf guns, and we were all like shooting each other with Nerf guns running around stage. And I remember he sent us home with some homework that night, and he wanted everybody to go home and like write a diary entry as if we were our characters and design. Oh, I remember too. He asked Ethan and I to like draw like family portraits and stuff to like design the Gallagher House set. So like my art is up there, and you know, the Gallagher House set, if you peek in the background, you'll see some of it.
Who were you like fast friends with? Was there someone immediately day one you're like, oh, I vibe with you?
Ethan and I were automatically like, we're like Irish twins. I think that's a saying, right?
Yeah,
Irish
twins. So.
We're like
so.
3 weeks apart in age. We are both only children. He did the same thing as me. He would go back to Chicago, go to his public school, and literally like, so we have there's nobody else in the world that like understands the situations that we went through like we do.
Did you ever get like homesick, and did you talk about that together? Like have each other?
Definitely. Like he was more of like the popular boy in his school. So I think he missed his like, you know, his friends and his girls and everything back, I guess more Midwest for him. Than I did. Like I thrived more in LA on set. That but our whole thing was we hated set school. Like we are notorious in the set school teacher industry for being like the bad kids. Like Rebels. Now we're older, but we would like lock each other in our trailers so that like and avoid the set teachers. They're like, you have to come to school now. Like,
no, we don't.
Pretend we're not in there. Like
kind of like your characters almost.
Yeah.
You're
no,
like, fuck it, you now.
For sure. Like
that's kind of amazing. And did like your parents ever go to set? Like were parents
my dad.
On set? Oh wow.
Yeah, my dad would be on set. He'd be in my trailer. My dad is such a sweet guy. Like he, growing up, you know, in the sports industry, he started off, he was a paper boy for the New York Post, like when he was a kid. And then he worked his way up and became one of the editors at the New York Post.
Wow.
And then when I booked Shameless, he quit his job at the Post that he had been doing, you know, decades to get there and, you know, took me to LA so I could do my dream, which was really sweet.
Did you ever feel like guilty?
Yeah, for sure I did. And, you know, sometimes I still do, but... he's such a sweet guy, my dad. And he actually went back to the Post a few years after that. And now he lives in LA and he does other sports stuff. But
I can't even like imagine how proud, especially because you're an only child.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, the only child syndrome. Do you ever feel like you're like all the pressure is on you and the focus is on you?
I definitely felt the focus all being on me growing up because I was the only one that they were focusing on.
Yeah.
And I... you know, sometimes it kind of makes you go the opposite direction.
Yeah. Even just as a child, when your parents are like staring at you and you're like, oh my God, I want you to stop looking at me. And like, that was the nice thing about having siblings, which do you feel like having Shameless, it was fun to like have almost like fake siblings. So you got,
yes.
Did it feel at all like an actual family at times?
We 100% felt like a family. And we still do. It's like, I know we're going to be in each other's lives forever. Like we had such a bonding experience, like going through this for so long. And the 95% of the cast is only children as well.
Did you ever feel like you're like, okay, I feel like I've really like matured and grown up, but was there ever a moment where you felt like, but people are still treating me like I'm a kid?
Yeah, 100%. Like that, I definitely felt that way for a minute, but it, you know, like sometimes there would be the vibe where it's like, they'll grab onto you and I'll see it sometimes on set, you know, various things like somebody, you know, might grab a kid and say, go there, go do this. And I'm like, OK, they're humans. Like, you know, I would have wanted somebody to stand up for me in that kind of a situation. So I'm always kind of looking out for like the underdog or the kid on set per se.
That's a really interesting point because like I understand what you're saying when kids are so young, literally people need to be like moving them to be like
physically
stand here.
And it's like, that's not, you know, don't, let's not do that.
Yeah. And when did you have that happen to you a lot when you were
Definitely. But I also am somebody where it's like I was always hyper aware of things.
That's good.
So I'm always like, okay, like they need me here. Like I'm always one step ahead.
That's good.
And I don't mean that in like a cocky way.
No, I think that's good, especially like as a woman in the industry to be like hyper aware. So you're like, nobody's got to touch me. Like I'll be there when yes. I need to be there.
Fact.
Because I can imagine as you're growing up, then you're like, wait, I know last year, maybe I was like 13 and now 2 years later, I'm 15. Mm-hmm. But like now I actually feel like an adult and like,
right.
But you're all still on the same exact set. So time kind of is like a weird concept of like, wait, guys, I've grown up. Treat me like an adult.
Right.
If you haven't watched this show, there's like drugs, alcohol, sex, booze, cocaine everything. For breakfast. You're washing it down with beer. There's like pregnancy. Like everyone's everywhere. And it's like this chaotic, dysfunctional, amazing family that like you kind of want to be a part of. But you're also like, I'm happy watching it over here right. vibe. I have to ask you, in those moments where there's all these drugs and chaos, like was there like a dare set on the like on set, like after a scene dead. Of you being like doing drugs or something, people being like, okay, now everyone reminder, like
drugs are not cool.
Yeah, like how did that work?
No, we didn't have any of that, but
that's crazy. You realize that like how young you were and like all yeah. the stuff, and then everyone's like, all right, take a break, and you were just like downing a beer and you're like, okay, I'm going to go to my trailer, and you're 12.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
That's wild.
There was, I mean, yeah, definitely. Like, my parents were very, like, protective of me. Like, no drinking, no smoking, no sex, nothing. Like, very protective. And in a way, I think that kind of, like, pushed me to do maybe the opposite.
Yeah.
At certain times in my life. And, yeah, a lot of people ask me if, like, maybe I went through phases because of Shameless. And I actually don't think it was because of Shameless. Mm-hmm. But then again, I also don't know myself without the show. So yeah. It's hard to even say.
But that's life. You don't know. Like,
it definitely opened
know.
Up my eyes to a lot of things that I didn't even know existed. I remember there was, like, season one, there was a scene where there was, like, weed in the scene or whatever. And I didn't know what weed was. Like, I remember asking people on set, I was like, what is this? Like, and I was like, how do they make it? And they were like, they grow it. And I was like, what do you mean they grow it? Like, I was
so it was like real weed on set.
Well,
and you're
no,
like,
it was like herbal weed.
Okay,
like,
okay.
And they have like, all random, like, for example, like movie cocaine is lactose powder.
Oh my God.
Which makes your nose very itchy.
I can't even imagine the amount of times, whether you're reading the script mm-hmm. or you're in a scene and you're like, I didn't know what that was until I read it yeah. or I was acting it. So like weed was something, but like I didn't know what fucking coke was when I'm like
yeah,
9,
no.
10, of course 11. Not. Mm-hmm. And so like who were you asking those questions?
Just the cast. The crew. I have so many funny memories. I remember there was one line where the line was like a nymphomaniac.
Oh yeah.
And I had no idea what that was, and I was like, what's a nymphomaniac? And I'm like saying in front of everybody, and they're like, like, she's, how do I answer this, like
that
without getting
arrested?
And the
fact that your character is supposed to be saying that, so you're yeah. like, well, I want to know, like, what does it mean? Oh my god,
I remember
god.
Asking them what a dildo was.
Oh my
because
god,
because it was scripted, and I was like, what is that? Like,
just did you ever idea. Like go to your parents and be like, yeah, I, on set today, like I learned what like a nymphomaniac and a dildo was, mom?
For sure.
She's like, sweetie, your job is so incredible. Keep yeah. going. It's like, what? Like, that's so kind of wild, because I didn't know what a dildo was at that age.
Yeah,
like that's crazy. Okay, were there any scenes that were really hard to film that have like stayed with you?
Interesting question. That have stayed with me. The one scene that, well, maybe a few would come up, but the top of my list would probably be the one where Monica, it was like a Thanksgiving episode, and Monica tried to kill herself. That was a really dark scene to watch. Like, it was just very heavy on set, and I didn't really fully know what was going on, I think, at that point, because I was so young. But yeah, I look back and that's really heavy. And then there was another scene where Liam as a baby got into like a stash of drugs. And
I remember that.
We like in the scene, we're supposed to come up and he's like on the floor with like powder all over his face and he's like sleeping. And I just remember the director was like, okay, like close your eyes. Like you're going to pretend you're asleep. And I was like, that's really dark. Like,
you're like, I don't like this.
Yeah, that was really sad. Like I remember everybody on set that day was like actually crying, and I didn't even know what was going on, but I was like crying. Like, I'm like this little baby. Like,
did you ever like go home those nights and like lay there and be like, what just happened? Like, did that it feel almost real at times?
Yeah, I mean, certain scenes for sure. It's like at the end of the day, it's like acting is you're channeling your own inner demons and your own inner inner emotions and bringing that up. So it's like you kind of can't help but feel for somebody if they're giving such a raw performance.
Was there ever for you a scene that was like hard for you specifically to film?
There's been a bunch. One that sticks out, I remember it was like I was maybe 12 or something and I was at the public pool in the scene and I'm wearing like a little white bathing suit and then the mean girls put ketchup on my seat. And like there was just like a bunch of teenagers like at the pool and I'm like 12 and I'm, you know, insecure. And I remember I was very embarrassed and anxious about that leading up to it. There would be a lot of scenes, honestly, where I would read it in the script and I was extremely anxious leading up to it, whether it be like a sex scene or like even just a kissing scene. Like I had my first kiss on camera and I was so anxious about it leading up to it. I was 11. It was like in the playground. It was all wholesome, but...
But like, you're like, you know, this is my first kiss.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I feel like I would have been like, does someone want to practice with me before I go up there? Like you didn't practice. You were like, you just winged it.
I definitely practiced on my hand a whole bunch. I actually remember talking to Emmy about it, like leading up to it. And I was like, and I remember she was like, kiss my hand, like practice on my hand. And then she's like, give more, give less, like giving these like crazy notes.
This doesn't really look, I remember I used to do that. Like I'd be like, the wall. I'm like, the wall is not a pair of flips. So like, we got to find something better for the young kids.
True. Don't,
I guess the hand could be better than the wall. I definitely tried on the wall. Okay. That scene though, back to the bathing suit, makes me like my heart.
Me
hurt
too.
Yeah.
Like I know.
It's. Did you ever talk to anyone before the scenes?
I didn't have the confidence. I wasn't able to stand up for myself at that point and say I wasn't comfortable doing it. And I also was reminding myself that kids go through this stuff. And I did want to be strong enough and brave enough. Okay, this isn't the script. I'm going to remind myself this isn't the script. Like, people go through this. Let me shine a light on it. And maybe somebody can relate.
1,000% people can relate.
So mean.
Like, it's so mean.
Can kids not do that to kids?
Kids like, are such fucking assholes. Yeah. Fuck you. Mm-hmm. Why do you think it was so hard? Do you think it was because it actually like felt real
like
to you?
I mean, it was, what happened in the scene was literally happening to me, although it was scripted because I was sitting in the ketchup and it was a whole bunch of kids around me laughing and I'm like in a bathing suit and I'm all shy and I'm like in a bikini. She's trying to be cool and like cute. And
like, would you call your parents? Like, who did you go to in those moments after?
Probably like Shanola. She was always like a great, like she's like a second mom to me, like big sister, second mom, whatever it is.
That's good.
She's always been there for me and was always giving me very good sound advice.
The guys don't deal with some of that shit.
Yeah, and they would definitely try. And like, they're the sweetest.
It's like you don't get it.
Yeah, like Jeremy Cam, like they're my big brothers and they'll try.
Right, but it's like, no, you don't get it. White bathing suit, red ketchup.
Yeah.
It sucks. And they're like, oh, I can't relate. Yeah. How did playing Debbie Gallagher affect Emma Kenney?
I always admired Debbie's wits, and if something was thrown her way, she would be able to kind of finesse and get what she wanted out of it, or at least, I don't want to say learn a lesson, because maybe she wouldn't always learn her lesson and would, you know, make the same mistake again. But I always really admired her hard work and her go-getter mentality.
Yeah, but I do feel for you in terms of even back to that pool scene of like, the writers weren't easy on Debbie.
They were not. Like, no, and I've said that before. I've said that before. Like, love the writers, but also...
Of course.
I was mad at them sometimes.
Yeah, like, you're so young at that point. Like, sometimes it's hard to be like, it's bigger than me because it's you in the moment. Like, what was the best thing when you look back for yourself about playing Debbie?
I just always have such a soft spot for Debbie. Like, it's weird. Like, she was a part of my life for so long.
Yeah.
And it's only been a few months that we wrapped the show. So I'm still kind of getting out of the headspace of it. But this is such a strange thing to even think. But I'll be at a restaurant and, like, they'll be like, you know, they have extra toilet paper or whatever in the bathroom. And my brain goes to Debbie, where if I were Debbie right now, I would probably steal extra toilet paper rolls to bring home for my family. You know what I mean? Like, I just think... How Debbie would sometimes.
I love you. You're like, Debbie would put these down my pants and run out of here.
100%.
You're like, Emma, stop.
And sometimes I'll be on set in my trailer and there'll be extra toilet paper rolls and I don't want to have to go to the grocery store and I'll take them home.
Stop.
And I'll have that Debbie moment.
That is kind of iconic. Okay, so Emmy Rossum played your older sister.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any ways that it actually felt like a sister relationship?
100%. In good and bad ways, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, we were both so young. I was obviously a lot younger. there were times where she would try to be a good influence, and then there were times where she would be blatantly giving me
bad,
not the best advice, and maybe she was struggling with her own inner problems and taking it out on other people, but yep. We all handle situations differently. But I growing up, I definitely took note from not just her in particular, but people of things I want to carry on in my life and things I do not want to carry on in my life. And that's period.
As also like a young woman navigating this industry, you're so fortunate to come in contact with anyone in the industry that you can learn something from.
Yeah.
And also just like be like, yes, want to do that. Nope, yep. Don't want to do that. Especially at the formative years for you. Was it ever a moment where you felt like you were like living in her shadow, or like were people trying to like pin you two against each other?
It's funny you say that, because yeah, that dynamic, I felt that dynamic, yeah, for sure. And I never understood it because I was 9 and she was like over 10 years older than me. So I'm like, why is there a weird competition here when I'm not trying to compete?
Right.
I don't know if it was other people on set creating that or if it was her creating it.
Yeah.
But I know I wasn't creating it.
And it's not like
nobody's
that with
competing.
Men.
That's how I feel about everything.
Right.
That nobody is competing with anybody, because what's meant to you for you will come for you.
Right.
So you can't make anything, you can't make a wrong decision.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Also very mature of how you view that. How did you feel when Emmy left the show? Like, what was the vibe of all of that?
It was bittersweet, because yeah, I had known her for so long, and I have a lot of love for Emmy. Like, I've known her for so long.
Yeah.
We haven't spoken in years. Mm. We're not, like, you know, but that's okay. Like, I have a lot of love for her, and I hope that she finds her happiness. Yeah. And I heard she had a baby, and that's beautiful.
Oh,
and
I didn't even know
I'm
that.
Sure she's going to be a lovely mother.
That's great.
So, yeah. Wow.
Now you kept going with Shameless. Mm-hmm. Were you so happy that it just kept continuing?
I was, of course, happy the show was continuing, because, you know, we have a great time doing it. And
right.
I love my Shameless family. And yeah. It was weird at first, for sure. But it also, the set became a little bit more of a positive place. I'm not going to lie.
That's great.
I remember before, pre her leaving, I'd go to set some days and I'd be very anxious about having a scene with her, because
wow,
because she had a bad day, she made it a bad day for everybody.
Wow. Okay, well, that's good for you and your mental health, that like you got to experience another era of like mm-hmm. doing it on your own and like having kind of just like a new vibe.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay. How did playing Debbie Gallagher affect Emma Kenney?
There were certain things that I wasn't even insecure about until it came up on television or it came up in the script. And I was like, oh, God, like, should I be insecure about this? But then, right, you know, you grow up and you accept who you are and you make the best of who you are. And
yeah,
I guess that's all you can do. And I really just tried to be brave and to be strong and think of the bigger picture and think that this yeah. is, I'm an artist, like, you know, I'm 9, I'm an artist, but I am at the end of the day. And I wanted to make it timeless and people to be able to relate.
Well, you definitely made it relatable, and you definitely were someone, like, for me, a character that I was constantly like, oh. Yeah, like I can tell behind the scenes. Did you ever like go to your parents or people and just be like, is this something that's wrong with me? Like
100%, especially Shanola.
Yeah.
Like I have had so many conversations with her about that over the years, and she's so sweet and would give me such honest and yeah. empowering advice. And
like, what would be an example of something that you would go to her about?
Everything, honestly. Like everything. Body image yeah. issues. I used to be insecure about my freckles, and like there'd be like lines here and there about my freckles or whatever. And
dude, I was the same when I was younger.
Yeah, but like now people draw them on and I'm like, okay, cool. Like, where was this 10 years ago?
Right? Right? Like, you have to find the positive, but when you're yeah. younger, it's really fucking hard.
It is. It's hard. But it's nothing hard. Is forever. And, you know, we all grow into who we're meant to be.
Yeah. Debbie got pregnant at a very young age on mm-hmm. the show. Where were you at that time in your life? Like, can I ask you, like, had you even had sex? Like,
I think I was 15 or 16. Okay. So no, I had not.
That's wild. Yeah. And like, what was your love life like at that time? You're like on set having a baby, and then you're like
not existent. I was
you're like 2 minutes ago. I just had my first kiss on screen. Like, what the fuck? How did that first kiss go on screen?
Oh my gosh, I remember. I was so nervous about it leading up, and my dad was there, literally behind the cameras watching it. His mom was there, and then I remember after the first take. Like, I was like, literally, I'm like counting my head. I'm like, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 happens. Anyways, then they cut and everybody's like clapping and laughing.
I'm like, stop. Yeah. Fuck you all. Wait,
I'm beat red.
Stop. Like, wait, was it a makeout or like a kiss?
It was a kiss. It was like a wholesome little kiss. And like, I think he was like smoking a cigarette in the scene and like, I'm like 11.
The fact that your dad was there, you let him be there?
I had to have a parent on set. I was so young.
So you're like, Dad, close your eyes. Yeah. But also, was that awful? The fact that they clapped for you.
But they clapped and laughed because it was so cute.
Did you only have to do one take?
No, we did like 6 or 7.
By that point, you're like, I'm an old pro. I am ready.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm a great kisser now. I've kissed him 7 times.
Oh my God. Yeah, but then like when you actually had your real first kiss, like how different?
I mean, yeah, like definitely different, but I also felt like I had experience.
Right. So you were like,
yeah, literally, I'm like,
you're like, this isn't my no first big deal. Time around. Yeah. And they're like, wait, really? You're like, well, I did kiss someone on a TV show, but that doesn't matter. I've kissed. Yes. Wait, that's amazing. What was the worst thing about playing Debbie? Sorry, that's a hard question.
No, it's kind of easy, actually. Like, they gave me so much to, certain seasons of the show, like they made her in the script at least very like unlikable, and they'd be like, you're so mean to your siblings, and I'm like, dude, this is the writing, like relax. But then I remember I made a conscious effort because I was sick of getting told that, and I was like, God, like maybe this is just my ego that doesn't want to be told this anymore, that I'm, you know, the worst part of Shameless, or that I'm, you know, so like whatever. So I just tried to change my approach. They didn't change the writing, but I just tried to change my approach with the lines and come from a more vulnerable spot than a aggressive spot. Exactly.
Wait, that's so fucking annoying.
Yeah, I mean, I've been told everything under the sun, honestly.
Like what?
Like I've been told, you know, everything. Like you're the best, you're the worst, you're horrible, you should get fired, you should, you know, you should get a spinoff. Like,
oh, you're like, yeah. All you're sorts. Like, the spinoff? Thank you. Like, absolutely. Okay, that's kind of annoying. What do you see that on like social media or like in person people say that?
Both.
Both.
100% both. Like I've definitely been recognized and they're like, I literally hated, they're like, oh my God, you're Debbie, I literally hated you. Like, oh, cool. They're like, can I get a pic? I'm like, you sure you want one?
Yeah,
Mr. Like, Hater?
Fuck you. Wow. Okay. Have you shot a sex scene?
I have.
Okay. Can you
not straight up nudity that I haven't agreed to that. When I turned 18, the producers of Shameless asked me if I was comfortable like doing nudity, and I told them I was not because I started the show so young that I thought it would be weird for the audience to like see me go there.
Oh, that's really smart.
Yeah, just I thought that'd be weird. I'm not saying I like wouldn't do it if it was like, you know, in a project I was passionate about and I felt comfortable enough to do. But yeah, for Shameless, I didn't feel comfortable like showing any actual skin.
So you just did heavy makeout scenes and shit.
Yeah, and it's like implied right. Sex scenes is what they would say.
How awkward are those scenes?
They can be awkward for sure if you don't have the right partner. Got I've it. Had people like where I've had to do like hookup scenes and right. It's, you know, maybe not my first choice.
You're like, oh, it's not who I'm fucking yeah. picking out on the street, but yeah. you know. And but then like how, and there's like how many cameramen in the room? Like no one's two. Getting turned on.
No.
Okay.
Definitely like, no. not. I mean, maybe if my scene partner was like my actual partner in real life, maybe right. it'd be different. Be like, oh. I haven't experienced that.
Right.
I know people who have, and I think they actually feel even more uncomfortable in those situations, which I would personally, because for me, it's like, I always think about this. It's like, I'm not somebody who like wants to show PDA
yeah.
with like my partner in front of, especially not my friends or my family.
Right.
But it's like, I'd feel a little bit more comfortable if it's like randoms, like, and you're just like yeah. holding hands on the street.
Being on a set where it was like drugs, alcohol, sex, when was the first time you drank?
Oh my gosh. The first time I drank. That's a funny question. I don't even know how old I was. I think I was like 13 or 14. Like, yeah, maybe give or yeah. take. I don't really remember how old I was, but I was in New Jersey with my friends and we like had, I think it was like white wine or something in like a bottle, like a water bottle.
I'll get you.
We were like walking around New Jersey. We'd go to like the Quick Check. I remember the next morning, like, I was like, I was hungover.
And you're like, what is this?
Because I had, you know, I had maybe like a sip of the wine, but
so young. Did you ever experiment with drugs?
I did. I, so it's, you know, public knowledge that I went to a rehab treatment. Mm-hmm. And I'm honestly really grateful for that experience. It's interesting too, because I got all of my like fun, quote unquote, out before I turned 18. I'm grateful for it, to be honest, because, you know, maybe certain people are more inclined to trying things. And I was that personality. I am. I guess you don't, you know, your personality doesn't change.
Right.
So I'm glad I got it out of my system. I think it also had a lot to do with like being restrained. And, you know, my parents, like, I love them, bless their heart, but they were trying very hard to make sure I didn't do those things. And it kind of pushed me to do the opposite.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah, but now I'm an adult and it's like I could do whatever I wanted theoretically, but I choose to not because I'm not interested in it.
So you went to rehab and like what were you seeking treatment for?
I was seeking treatment for drug, alcohol abuse.
Did anyone like stage any kind of like intervention to get you there, or did you decide to go on your own?
Kind of. It was a mix of both. Like it was like my mom and my dad and my friends that were all very concerned and were very worried about me. Like, and I would, you know, I liked to think that I was like doing like the things that I was doing in like a selfless way, in the sense of I wasn't sharing the stuff with my friends, and I wasn't doing that in like a, it's all mine. Like I didn't want my friends to be doing the same bad things that I was doing. So like I wasn't like sharing it with them, and I wasn't really talking about it much, but they could just tell and wow. know what was going on. I did want to get better as well, but it took, you know, a minute for me to actually want it as well.
I appreciate you saying that, because there's so many young women that listen to my show, mm-hmm. and every time someone comes on and it's like open about an experience, I feel like, I mean, you're going to get DMs from this episode of people being like, thank you. Like, it's really right. cool to have someone sit here and be open and vulnerable.
I love being vulnerable too. It's like, you know, even with the show and stuff and the, yeah. the scenes I had to do that were uncomfortable. It's like, at the end of the day, it's like, you're just one person. If you can make a bigger difference, I'd love to.
Yeah. And if someone can relate yeah. and be like, oh, she goes through that.
Because there's nothing worse than feeling alone in your situations. Like nothing. There's nothing worse than that.
Literally nothing worse. Yeah. So you're not alone if you're listening. Did the substance abuse at all affect your like job at the time? Like, were you like, fuck?
No, weirdly. And I mean, yes, it did, because it wasn't healthy and it wasn't sustainable. But yeah. I have vivid memories of being up all night and then Ubering to set before I even got my driver's license and having a bloody nose in my trailer like at 15, and you know, but I would always get to set on time because I'm a Virgo. I was always on time, but it wasn't sustainable, it wasn't healthy. I was miserable on the inside and on the outside as well.
Were you like confiding with any of your like cast members? Like, were they helping you? Like, they knew what you were going through?
They would definitely be able to tell what was yeah. going on, and they were very concerned and were definitely trying to help me, but I wasn't. I'm a very like closed off person sometimes. Yep. So
in 2018, when you talked about rehab, were you at all concerned about like the optics of like what it would do to your career? You're like, no, fuck this.
I was maybe a little bit, but I also was like, people have their problems, people have their things, and nobody's perfect. Everybody's got their thing. And it's like, you know, that might have been my Achilles heel. And it also was freeing, honestly, because I was living in such a fear as well that like, oh, wow. what if I get exposed? Like, oh my God, like all these horrible things could happen. And I was like, I honestly want to take the power away from the possibility of other people saying it and kind of control the narrative.
I think that's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And very powerful, and good for you.
Thanks.
Like, just being like, you know what? Like, this demon, I'm like, nope, I'm going to conquer it and I'm going to go handle it. And
right.
that's amazing.
Yeah.
How have the people you, or have the people you surround yourself with, like, has that changed?
No, like, I mean, yes and no. Like, I definitely, back then when I was, you know, in my dark times, I had my party friends and, right. like, they weren't my friends that I would ever even get lunch with. I would meet them up at the freaking club. I don't talk to any of those people anymore. But my main friend group has not changed. I would, right. you know, they would maybe come out with me to parties and stuff sometimes. Back in the day, I'd have my, like, random club promoter connects. And I'm just like, I look back and I'm like, what is wrong with those people? Like, why were they inviting 15, 16-year-olds to the club? get a life.
You look
it's
back.
Sad.
It is sad. And it's weird.
It's concerning.
It is. What would you say to anyone who is considering rehab but is like scared and they feel like, I'm too young. Like, that couldn't be for me.
It's a good question. It's a good question because I felt that too. Like, honestly, when I was 18, I was like, am I really never going to do a drug or anything again? Like, I'm only 18. But you really just change your view on yourself, I think, and like what you want to bring into your life. And at the end of the day, like, everything we do is like going to create the bigger version of ourselves.
I actually had a friend that was struggling with substance abuse and was like, I'm literally like in my 20s. Like, so you're telling me I'm just never gonna have a drink again?
Right.
And so I kind of get what you're saying of like,
right,
there is no harm, let's put it that way, in just pausing and working on yourself.
100%. Yes, it's like, I don't even want to say nothing is forever because some people need to know, say to themselves, I'll be sober forever. Maybe that keeps them sober or whatever it is. But but maybe for me, it was more of a nothing is forever. Like, maybe I'll be able to change my perspective on things one day. But I haven't, and I don't plan on it either.
You answer to yourself.
And maybe certain, like, things help other people too. Like, some people maybe have like a negative vice, maybe they have a positive vice, like working out. A lot of sober people I know smoke cigarettes, and you know, that's not good either. Like, they'll smoke like a pack a day, and that's you know, so I guess you just kind of got to pick your poison.
What is your relationship to alcohol and drugs now?
I don't do drugs. Okay. I drink. I mean, I'm not like, alcohol was really not never my problem, to be honest. I'm not really much of a drinker though. Like, I'll have my Aperol spritz. I like a tequila soda, but I don't really like to get like drunk. Yeah, I don't like the way it makes me feel. Like, I'll definitely, you know, go weeks without drinking, and I'm just I don't like the way it makes me feel.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
This is Call Her Daddy. So I have to ask a little bit about dating, love, the whole thing. Okay. Who was your first crush?
My first, like, celebrity crush or like real crush?
Maybe celebrity. That's more fun.
Okay. My first celebrity crush. I loved One Direction. You could say Harry Styles was my first celebrity crush.
That's
he actually
one.
Follows me on Twitter, which is pretty crazy.
Oh, I know. Okay. Humble flex. And humble as flex. Everywhere you go, you should make that comment. Every interview.
Oh, I do.
You're like, oh, don't worry. It's my talking point at the bar. About it. You're like flirting with a guy. You're like, oh, by the way, no big deal, no competition. But like, Harry Styles follows me on Twitter. Yeah. Anyways.
Wait a minute. Actually, before I had my first real kiss off screen, I went to the One Direction movie premiere and Harry Styles kissed my cheek. I was like, oh my God, like, hi, like, and he had already followed me on Twitter and like, I guess he like liked the show at that point.
So you should start with that every time. Like, who was your first kiss? Harry Styles. And then you dial it back. You're like, well, it wasn't my cheek, but like, I consider it. That's a great fucking story. Yeah. Holy shit.
I just remember blushing and like, beet red. My mom is like next to me.
Your mom's like, get in the car, you need to relax. Yeah. You're like, Mom, this is the best day of my fucking life. Holy shit. Okay, that's a great story. Did being on TV help or hurt your dating life? Any specific examples?
I don't fully know, but I think it made me more aware of things. Like, I was always very like anxious that I was getting like used or whatever for being on TV, and that like somebody didn't like me for me, and that they were just like trying to like maybe like, you know, be with a famous person or on TV, whatever.
Did you ever catch anyone doing that?
No, because I wouldn't really put myself out there.
Okay.
Like, I would catch it before it would ever get to anything.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Have you ever been on a dating app?
I have definitely been on Raya.
Oh yeah. And I love how you blush a little. We need to normalize being on dating apps. You're like, don't look at me.
I know, you're right. We do need to normalize it. I just hate the stigma. It's like, if somebody's on it, it's like, I wasn't on it being like, I'm looking for a relationship. But
you don't need to feel that way though.
Literally, you're right.
We need to stop. It's like, it's easier to meet people and you can vet them and you can Wikipedia them.
I also like
them.
To like look at who's on it and I'm like, oh, I recognize them. Like,
right? And then you can like do your research before.
Yeah,
you can't do that Instagram. At the bar.
You gotta, you know, sometimes you gotta have your iPad with you so you could screen record to send your friends who you see, because you can't screenshot.
It's so hard. Dude, it's
don't
so,
sue me, Raya.
I know. Raya's going to like kick us both off. No, we're too good. We're too good to them. No, that's actually, yes, moving forward, no blushing. I was on Raya once.
I'm the worst.
Proud.
I blush.
Proud.
I literally, like, I am notorious for just blushing at the drop of a hat.
You blushed more at that than the Harry Styles kiss.
Stop. Now, okay? I'm blushing again.
Like, please stop. Next question. Okay. Did you ever have a personal relationship with anyone that you met on a set?
No.
Oh, you keep it professional. You're if I did, I'm not going to fucking tell you, bitch.
No. Like, it wasn't even like my goal was like to try to keep it professional. Like, I remember when they would write, you know, me like a lover on the show or whatever, either show they do, I would be like, yes, please, please, somebody I like. And, you know, it never would be. No offense to my
previous
TV lovers.
Yeah. Who did you have a crush on Shameless? I think I already know this answer.
Yeah. It's I honestly, there was a few people, but.
Oh,
spill
the tea.
So
tell us.
So first Shameless crush was Jeremy.
Yeah.
He knows it. We all know it. His wife knows it. We laugh about it. It's great. And it's just weird too, because I'm like, he's literally like my brother. It was like maybe the pilot. I was like, he's just so cool. Like,
yeah.
Jeremy's just dope. And he's so nice.
Dude, you're 9 and he's hot.
For sure.
No one's like mad at you for that.
Him. And then also Justin Chatwin, I had a crush on.
Wait, which one was Justin?
He played Jimmy Steve.
Oh.
Fiona's boyfriend. And
he was pretty fucking hot.
Yeah. I remember this one time, actually, somebody on set knew that I had a crush on Justin or whatever. And she goes, Emma, look. She was like, it's Justin. She was like, your crush or whatever. And I'm like 10. I'm like beat red. And everybody's like, stop it, to this, you know, one
Wait,
person.
That is so
Oh,
mean.
That wasn't, that was, I have plenty of stories in my brain.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry. Dude, that's not.
Not me stirring the pot.
Yeah, stirring the pot. But like how many times like my sister and older like family friend would be like, Alex,
I
like,
hate
look who's
like,
here. And I'm like, I am 12 and I write about him in my diary. Go fuck yourself. That's so, I'm sorry.
Like, let's empower people and not try to bring them down.
Also, like, if you've confided in someone that you have a
messed
crush.
Messed up.
Dude.
Yeah. I'm like, sorry. In any realm of just, like, trying to, like, point something out. Like, you know those girls that are, like, try to embarrass you in front of somebody you like?
Yes.
They're the worst.
It's because
they're insecure.
They're insecure.
They're mean.
They're insecure. Have you ever been in love?
I have been in love. I think a few times, and
it's great.
Yeah, it is great. It's such a special feeling. Like, I honestly remember the first time, like, I realized I'm, you know, in love, and I have, you know, my boyfriend, and
oh, you're in a relationship.
No, well,
oh, sorry.
I'm talking about my ex-boyfriend.
Okay, yeah,
when
yep.
we were dating, and yeah, it's a very special feeling. Like, I remember before that, I had always just thought, like, am I even lovable? You know, and it's like, then you find somebody and you have all these random things in common with them that you're like, that's so random. Why do we both have this? Like, why did this happen to both of us? And it's beautiful. And then, you know, then you
heartbreak.
Either you stay in love and you stay great or you don't.
Or you heartbreak. Have you been heartbroken before?
For sure.
Yeah,
of course.
The worst.
And for sure.
That made me so sad when you just said, like, am I even lovable?
Yeah, I think everybody, I mean, maybe not, but I know I definitely used to, like, think about that. And then,
yeah.
You know, I think once you have that first kind of real love, you realize you are lovable. And
yeah, that's a good point. I was about to be like, and then I'm like, oh, wait, no. I remember, like, feeling that in high school, like, before you have that guy, and you're like, what is it about me? Like, and especially if all your friends have someone, and then you're like, what is going on?
Right, for sure.
You start to like look inward and think there's something wrong with you. But it's really like, you just haven't found the right person.
Yeah.
Okay, final question.
Okay.
What is the craziest thing that you've read about yourself on the internet, and what is your response?
Randomly, there was an article once that I died, which is so random. I feel like a lot of people have had those, but I was like, where does this even come from and why do they care? Like,
there's an article?
Like, I mean, I don't think it was like,
it was just someone saying
it wasn't the cover of the New York Times, but like, I definitely saw it in my Google alerts. And
it was in your Google alerts?
Yeah.
And you were like, wait, let me check.
And I'm like, yeah, is my pulse?
You're like, wait, am I? Wait, what the fuck? What
maybe it's all, maybe I am dead and this is all just an illusion in heaven.
That would be a fucking crazy podcast episode. I like look in the camera and like you're not there. I'm like, what the fuck? Emma Kenny,
Twilight Zone.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You
this
are
so fun, honestly.
This is so fun. Mm-hmm. Thank you for coming. I had the best time.
Thank you so much. This was so fun.
Well, there you have it, Daddy Gang.
I hope you felt a little bit a part of the Gallagher's crew for a minute. And I know I got my Shameless fix and now I want to go rewatch the entire thing, which I've already been doing. I thought it was really fun to get those inside moments just of a show that I know so many of us are obsessed with. And I really appreciate Emma opening up about herself and her experience on the set. So Daddy Gang, you know the drill. In one short week, you'll blink and all of a sudden we'll be back and there will be another episode. And just as I say it every fucking week, I will see you fuckers next Wednesday.